The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. This is the Thursday night recap of a Packers 34-17 beatdown of the San Francisco 49ers, 34-17. And this time, when we did the intro, we messed it up before, but this time we did it. Ryan Wilson actually didn't imitate me. But if you want to see Wilson imitate me in the future and make fun of me as I do my intro, you can watch all of these episodes on the CBS Sports app. Now, little catch here. You can't watch it on the mobile version. But if you're on your Roku or your Amazon Fire, your Xbox, your PlayStation, whatever it is, you open up your CBS Sports app. And the first thing you'll see is CBS Sports HQ. And just hit down like five times. Scroll past these cheese ball pictures of Jamie Eisenberg. And right below that are a bunch of Pick Six podcast episodes. Literally, in fact, every Pick Six podcast episode. There are hours of video of us on this app. Mm. It's incredible.
Wait, people can go back and watch Bleep?
I don't know how far back it goes.
Let's hope it's not that far back. Nobody wants to see Bleep on.
I mean, like the oldest one is Cam Newton benched and Patriots lost. It's an hour 38. That's clearly a Sunday night recap show. So, I mean, it's like we're just on this app yawning and drinking.
No, I could see that hour 38 of you talking about Cam Newton walking around your neighborhood like Michael Rappaport just yelling and screaming. Cam's been benched. What's going on?
What are you doing, Belichick? We look pretty good. I had to clean up my background here. Anyway, Packers throttled the 49ers 34-17. It felt like a revenge game for 2019. Is that a crazy notion?
Yeah. I mean, they were playing a revenge game against the JV squad. So
and they had nobody. Breach, can you name the two top receivers for the 49ers tonight?
You know what is funny? I don't think I can. I know one of them was James, cause he had more yards in this game than he had during
Richie,
the entire
James Ritchie, Guy Ritchie.
Was it Ricky or Ritchie? It's Ritchie. So Ritchie James Richard had more
James
more,
James?
more yards in this game than he had the entire 2019 season.
Yeah. It's Richard James or Ritchie James, however you want to call it.
Or
Rick Ritchie. James. He had the Super crazy freak touchdown catch.
Ross Dwelly was the other top receiver for the 49ers. Then Jarrett McKinnon, who went under his total.
And then Craycraft, the guy that dropped the touchdown with the crazy name.
That would be a great catch. Let's give Craycraft a little credit.
James had 184 receiving yards.
Yeah.
More than Devontae Adams.
Speaking of Devontae Adams, let me pose a question to Breach. And Brinson, you will follow up because it's going to be aimed squarely at you. So earlier this week, we talked in the podcast about why, Tuesday it must have been because it was the trade deadline podcast. Why on God's green earth would you not give up a second round pick for Will Fuller? And then you look at the receiving totals for the Packers and 12 targets for Devontae Adams, 10 catches, 173. And then after that, Marquez Valdes-Scantling was second with 4 targets, 2 catches. There is no one to throw the ball to. In fact, Aaron Rodgers was getting frustrated.
Could you read MVS's stats again?
2 receptions, 53 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Okay.
But he was – what are you talking about? Well, let me ask you this.
Well, I think what Wilson is trying to say that he had a key drop on third and four where Aaron Rodgers was ready to cut him from the team on the spot.
Well, you know who's wasn't going to be eligible for this game anyway? Will Fuller, because he couldn't get past COVID protocol.
But you know who will be eligible for the next seven games? Who will be eligible for the next seven games?
Back next week. It was one bad drop, and he caught two touchdown passes.
I don't understand. This is the weirdest hill you've ever died on. Like,
no, I wouldn't go that far. Brinson's died on some weird hills.
Died on much weirder hills.
Yeah, this is true. Trent Williams.
Lazard's good.
Garrett Bradbury.
Garrett Bradbury's good. Adams is a monster. And he said after the game, yeah, I think I'm the
no
best.
No one disputes that. But there is literally no one else. And Aaron Rodgers, to what Breach just said, was extremely frustrated when a ball hit Marquez Valdes-Scantling in the hands, and it somehow found its way to the turf.
That was a bad drop. No one disputes that.
And by the way, if you have a lot of confidence in your receivers, you don't target one of them 12 times and target no one else more than five.
And one of those five was a guy who Aaron Rodgers didn't even know if he was going to play tonight. That was Aaron Jones. So you take Aaron Jones out, and you're talking about more targets for Devontae Adams.
Hard disagree here, guys. They won by 17, and okay. The final 7 points came on an unnecessary drive by Kyle Shanahan, where he ruined the under and the second half under and my life. There was no need for him to go down and score. This is a bloodbath.
This isn't about this game. I don't care. No, clearly they were going
to
stop.
They like Valdes-Scantling. I don't know what to tell you. Pete, I hate to agree with Prisco, but they like him.
Well, okay.
Look, he dropped that pass. They didn't bench him. Rodgers went back to him on a deep route and then found him again later in the end zone. He made a great catch. He's a second year player.
Would this team be better without a second round pick and with Will Fuller in terms of their run?
I mean, right now, yes. Long term, no.
What? What are you talking about? What is wrong with you?
The salary cap's coming. We're not turning this into a trade deadline redux.
No, but we're talking. We're looking.
134-17.
Against a team building JV players. This is like Breach is right. This isn't the craziest thing you've sort of stood up for. But
let's read some tweets. As a Packer fan, I struggle to decide who's worse at their job between Mike Pettine and Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Why can't Marquez Valdes-Scantling, a professional football catcher, catch a football?
That's pretty funny.
Valdes-Scantling is not good. These are tweets from Packers fans from this game.
Meanwhile, Brinson's out front of the stadium with a "I love Marquez Valdes-Scantling" sign, just going like, back and forth.
The deep pass, deep pass for the 47-yard touchdown. Rodgers threw that so well, he practically handed it off to him, like he couldn't drop it because, he was wide open and Rodgers put it right in his hand.
He's wide open because the guy in coverage made a bad play and Valdes-Scantling torched him. But
no, he didn't torch him. He ran a straight line. That's all he did.
Well, the guy, he smoked him. He was wide open.
Anthony Harris, I think it was Anthony, whoever the safety Harris just stood there and Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
He came in and, which look, that's bad defense. You can't come in and bite.
Okay. It's not like Valdes-Scantling did anything incredible. Like, he just ran straight.
Think Valdes-Scantling's running a curl route there. Like he's going deep.
Well, you're sort of dunking on yourself there. I mean, the point is that Will Fuller is a really good football player and the rest of these
Will
guys.
Will Fuller's a deep threat too. This is so weird that y'all are doing this.
Is it?
Yes.
It's weird that we're being nitpicky about the Packers because they just won a game by 17 points, and we're pointing out a flaw for a future game when they're not playing a team that, as Ryan said, is JV because they had seven players on the field
one
because
bad
no
drop.
One was healthy.
It was a really bad drop.
He only had four passes thrown to him. That's 25% of the passes.
And it was 50% of them were touchdowns.
No, you dunked
yourself.
You dunked
yourself?
Yes.
It's just a dunk fest, okay?
Okay, whatever. Look, we can
talk about this game.
We can revisit this in the future, and I want you to apologize. Like you have to apologize to Steelers fans every week, and who else do you have to apologize? Oh, Bears fans. So we'll look forward to this because when it comes down to the playoffs, and they're playing a team with a good defense, and they double team Devontae Adams.
I cannot wait until the Packers are in the Super Bowl and like MVS drops a fourth down conversion, and like all of a sudden Ryan's like on the press box table, just like triple Xing me in the face. Just,
but that drop in the Super Bowl is against the Colts, so Brinson's also on the press box table, triple Xing back.
That's right. I understand what you're saying. I think Will Fuller would upgrade the wide receiver core. I would not give up a second round pick for him. I don't want to like go down this hill again. MVS called two touchdown passes.
Oh God, we know.
It's very weird that you're like ripping this guy. He bounced back in a big way.
To say that it's weird for us ripping him, then is it weird for Aaron Rodgers to be making weird faces at him for dropping passes?
I mean, it's a terrible drop, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, that's why we're frustrated. That's the point.
What is it, a collective we? It sounds like therapy.
No, me and Breach are...
We are frustrated.
Well, man. Ryan's referring to the we as in the Packer fan kingdom, as the tweets I read prove. They are also frustrated.
I think they're being overly sensitive about it. Robert Tanyan not involved. Should have taken the under on his. How did we do on these props, Devo? I think bad. Although somebody tweeted me, was like, did you take the Davante Adams first touchdown? I was like, I didn't. It was 4-1. I was going to wait and get it live, and the live touchdown odds didn't pop up in time.
You know the best line of the night? Stat line? Mercedes Lewis. Look at that thing.
One catch, one target, one touchdown.
That's yard.
Efficiency.
1 yard. Yeah.
He didn't drop anything on third down.
No. And I think, I haven't double checked, but I think now.
Yes. Three touchdown passes to first round players.
All of them.
All of them to Mercedes Lewis.
That's right. There we go.
Rodgers was 25-31 for 305 yards, 4 touchdowns. He was awesome. Missed a couple of, one or two. He missed a throw early. He had Davante Adams wide open.
Yeah, he had Marcus Valdes-Scantling wide open too. Something happened.
And that Davante Adams one was on third down on the series before the MVS series.
They didn't talk about Davante Adams staring down Aaron Rodgers, did they?
Yeah.
That's because he got 12 more targets.
Let's push Davante Adams.
Early on in this game, it felt like San Francisco was going to hang it. The Packers on their first drive go down and march down, score a touchdown. A great throw by Rodgers, a great catch by Davante Adams. He's the best wide receiver in football right now.
Might have been one of the top three catches of the year. Where you're catching it, you can't get your other foot down. Your only hope is to get your elbow in bounds, and it was in bounds by about a centimeter. If you have not seen this touchdown catch, make sure you pause the podcast, go watch it, and then come back. No?
No.
Okay, watch it after the podcast.
Just do both. By the way, not the second best, but the second most impressive catch for me on Thursday night was that fourth down snag by Davante Adams. It was just a quick little out. And I mean, he was covered, blanketed by the D-back, and Aaron Rodgers threw a seed and he caught it. He caught it and he was being pass interfered with to the point that the D-back ripped his glove off.
And Rodgers was looking back, or Adams looking back. He's like, are you kidding me? Like, really? I just took your lunch, son.
Yep.
Bill, a friend of the podcast, Bill Barnwell, used to do a thing where he would give out the championship belt for best running back.
Yeah.
And I think it applies to the wide receivers too. Like, who's the best wide receiver in football? For a long time, it was Antonio Brown. Michael Thomas probably had it the last 2 years. Julio Jones might have been there. Davante Adams has the belt this year.
Like, who's number two? I don't even
DK Metcalf.
Maybe DK or Julio. Julio's been good.
Yeah,
Brenton, you just said that you thought the 49ers played well early and that they were kind of in this game. And I felt the same way because you look at, their second drive, they drove right down the field. Nick Mullins, they have an offensive lineman who was just getting run over.
Cool.
Trent Williams replacement. And so, but despite all that, and they don't have any receivers, they don't have any healthy running backs. They're down to third or fourth string at every position, and they drove right down the field. They get the field goal iffy. I see both ways on whether or not you get the points, but I feel like if you're Shanahan, you're worried that maybe you're not going to get down there again. You just want to score because
take some points and trust your defense,
right, and give your offense some confidence that they got out of there because this isn't your normal guys out there. And then they forced a Packers 3-and-out, so it's 7-3. 49ers get the ball back. They have a chance to take the lead. They drive straight into Green Bay territory, and then that is when Nick Mullins threw possibly the worst interception I've ever seen in the non-Blake Bortles department.
Was it worst interception of the season?
No. No, they've been much worse.
Yeah. It was definitely the worst interception of week 9 so far.
So you have the interception, and again, the 49ers are still up 7-3. The Packers drive down, and that's where the 4th-and-inches play happened at Davante Adams. So it's 4th-and-inches. The Packers could have done a QB sneak. Instead, they almost – if Davante Adams doesn't make a fantastic catch – then the Packers don't capitalize off the great field position for the interception, and it's still 7-3, and all of a sudden it's a ball game. But instead, Adams catches that. The Packers score a touchdown on that drive. It's 14-3, and then I think kind of felt like the blowout was on after that.
I felt like after the Craycroft touchdown was overturned, and that was the first drive, I believe, I said, well, this is a wrap. You can kick a field goal. I understand why he did it.
Yeah.
But if you score a touchdown there, then you have answered the Packers' first drive. And the Packers have scored touchdowns on scored on every drive this season, which is pretty impressive on the first opening drive. But after you don't score that touchdown, because you're already working with one hand behind your back, we know Nick Mullins is a liability if everything's not perfect, and you're playing with guys that
4th-and-4 at the 4-2.
Yeah, I'm fine with the kicking him, but if you're Craycroft, you got to catch it. That's my point. Like you did the hard part, and then your elbow hit the ground and knocked it loose. I know it's unlucky, but after that point, I was like, okay, I don't.
How about the officials ruling that a touchdown? That was terrible.
No one knows the rules. That's the problem.
The ball was out like that. It was out fast, and they're like, oh, touchdown. I didn't have a problem with them kicking it either because, you have to take the points. I do think that drive, maybe Kyle Shanahan had a little false confidence that he would get that they would do that again and again. In reality, it just wasn't,
He didn't have a choice. He had to think that.
I mean, but they almost did. The drive after that, the Mullins interception, they drove pretty easily until the interception and a couple of holding calls kind of killed it. But
that sounds like everything you tell yourself after every Bengals game.
Well, and then after the interception, the Packers smell blood. They are 9 plays, 30 yards, including or 38 yards total with the penalty, touchdown.
But they had to convert that 4th and inches.
Yeah.
They almost did not convert.
Yeah, that was tough. And then 3 and out for the 49ers, another Packers touchdown, and suddenly it's 21-3.
Yeah, it's over.
Going into halftime. At that point, you knew that if the 49ers were going to win this, they had to keep it close and sort of just keep it muddled and not, I don't know.
Once the Packers went up 21-3, we could have recorded this podcast at halftime and just made up the second half stats and probably been correct. Because the 49ers weren't coming back.
Although I will say the 49ers did cover the second half line.
Yeah, because the Packers brought in the second string quarterback. I don't even know his name. They weren't really
trying. The Packers scored 3 times in the second half and the 49ers covered because they got the last second bull Sherb touchdown.
Okay. Hey, you know what, man? I have Jerick McKinnon on my fantasy team. I will take those last second touchdowns. Last play of the game. Or I guess there was 2 seconds left, but still, I'll take it.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the long-term effects of this game or something.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig what's coming?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
All right, so Rodgers. 5-1 now in the MVP race. How would you handicap Rodgers against Russell Wilson for the rest of the year? You can bring in Tom Brady if you want. I guess Patrick Mahomes is still there. Josh Allen, no Mas. I don't know who else there would be. Am I missing somebody obvious?
I mean, Lamar's not in it.
Not even close.
Patrick Mahomes?
He just said Patrick Mahomes.
Wilson's minus 175, Mahomes plus 375, and then Rodgers plus 500, followed by Tom Brady, 12 to 1 right now.
Brady is, from a odds perspective, Brady is who I would take.
Yeah, he's getting
value?
He's
getting AB, so that could be interesting. The defense is playing pretty well.
Debo, what's Kyler Murray's?
20-1. He's 5th, tied with Ben Roethlisberger.
Still 20-1?
Also 20-1, Big Ben.
It should be 20-1.
I don't think that's crazy.
He was like 25-1 for the season started. I think he should be. What's Josh Allen? I bet Josh Allen's like 50-1 now.
30 alongside Lamar Jackson.
Huh.
They're scared of exposure. That's all it is.
I think the one thing with Kyler Murray and also with Josh Allen potentially this weekend is if you beat Russell Wilson head to head and you stay with him statistically, then I think that gives you a little bit of an edge because. You know, you look at it and say, well, they're pretty even, or even if you're Kyler Murray, you're a little bit worse, but you sweep Russell Wilson 2-0 head-to-head, I think you get the benefit of the doubt.
I'll tell you why.
Before you answer that, I have a question for you.
Oh, what?
Have you noticed that Breach has changed the way he says potentially?
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's working on it. He may have made it self-conscious. Did that happen, Breach? If so,
no, I have never been self-conscious about a thing in my life.
I don't think so either. I'm just asking. Just said potentially instead of potentially.
You want me to start saying potentially again?
Maybe he says potentially on part like a weird affectation, and he forgot that he's supposed to be putting on like dudes in college. Dudes in college who are from Connecticut but speak with English accents, like that's Breach. Like he says potentially in Jaguars, just weird stuff. Like, oh, that's cute.
Maybe it's because it's election season. Breach has been getting less of his information from British news sources.
My well is dried up.
Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick potentially with the
dynasty. Oh, he's an old English woman.
Is over.
Our British listeners are like fast forwarding right now. They're like, my God, I'm sick of Brinson's English impression. It's not even close.
He's an old English woman.
We'll eat some tea and crumpets and make fun of Brinson's accent.
This guy has the worst impressions. Anyway,
by the way, Aaron Rodgers is the reason he will not win the MVP is because Russell Wilson has DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. And you may take that to be two wide receivers, not just one.
My argument for Tom Brady, if he's available for anybody to bet, and you can bet on it at WilliamHill.com, I believe, would be that if the Buccaneers get the number one seed in the NFC, I think the voters are going to look at it as like, all right, this team was 7-9, and they added Tom Brady, and they're the number one seed in the NFC. Ergo, henceforth, therewith, he's the most valuable player. Now, if the Seahawks defense stinks and Russell takes him to the division title and they get the 1 or 2 seed, then he would probably win the argument. So there's a pretty clear path for Russell to win, but the Cardinals beat him head to head. If Russell doesn't win the division, he's not going to MVP, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with that.
All right. Yeah, we'll see.
So I would bet Brady now if it was me.
Yeah, I'm with that.
Brady so Aaron Rodgers in this game threw 2 touchdown passes of 35 yards or more. Only 2 other quarterbacks in the NFL have done that this year. Do you guys know who they are?
Josh Allen and Russell Wilson.
I was going to guess Josh Allen.
Right?
Josh Allen and Ben Roethlisberger.
You are 0% right, and Brinson was 50% right.
The other one's
Sam Darnold.
Matthew Stafford.
Joe Burrow.
Philip Rivers?
Wrong. Joe Burrow. Wrong. Yeah, it's 3 wrongs. How many strikes?
Justin Herbert.
Debo, do you want to guess?
I would guess Carson Wentz.
It's Justin Herbert. It's definitely Justin Herbert. It's Herbert Wilson.
Not Justin Herbert.
Carson Wentz.
Wow.
Patrick Mahomes.
No. Andy Dalton.
No.
Ben DiNucci.
It is a name that has been mentioned a lot on this podcast, though.
Aaron Rodgers.
No, Aaron Rodgers is the trivia.
Got it.
No, not today, but in the podcast history.
He missed. Who is it? Just tell us.
Tom Brady.
Derek Carr.
Oh, wow. Way to go.
How is Justin Herbert not? Wait.
It feels like Justin Herbert should be on it.
How many?
235.
Justin Herbert definitely has more than 2 touchdown passes at 35 yards.
35 air yards? Game. Same game. You didn't say that part out loud.
I think I did.
Interesting. Okay. Sure.
I feel like Justin Herbert definitely has 2 against the Buccaneers.
Yeah, Breach.
How many does Justin Herbert have, Breach?
How many of more than
35 yards?
35 yards?
In a game.
I think I have Justin Herbert's stats memorized. Is that what's going on here?
That seems like something you would do in your spare time. When you're not practicing your potential.
That's a good question. You know what? That's a good question.
No, yeah, you're wrong. He has a 53-yard touchdown pass to Tyron Johnson against the Buccaneers.
Called it.
72-yard touchdown pass to Jalen Guyton against the Buccaneers as well. So, unfortunately, Breach.
And Justin Herbert.
He tried to get it in right before the duck.
A hamstring or a muscle and the
I didn't hear all your guesses. Isolation. You guys just started spouting off names. It got too confusing.
So
wait. So there's 3, not 2.
Yes. And we got it right. And he denied us.
So it's really an eighth of the NFL has done this.
It's not the eighth.
So San Francisco.
Can you name 2 quarterbacks in the NFL who haven't thrown 2 touchdowns? Is San Francisco dead?
No, that's not a question. That's a statement. They're done.
I mean,
they're in last place in the division. If they're in the NFC East, are they in first place at 4-5?
Yes, by 2 games.
But they're not. So they're in last place. They're done. There's no coming back. None of their starters are coming back.
Is Nick Mullins better than Carson Wentz?
No, he is not. Look at Debo staring a hole through you from 1,000 miles away.
um, It's hard to imagine the 49ers getting it. So
they're not, are they going to finish above 500? That's the question.
Remember, so, 2019, obviously they went to the Super Bowl. 2018, they went to the Super Bowl when they got Nick Bosa because they had the second overall pick.
I think they had won two games in 2018. Is that right?
Yeah, they were terrible. And Kyle Shanahan is a great coach. He is, like, he did as much as he could against the Packers, but I mean, that team lost George Kittle, Trent Williams, Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel, Jimmy Garoppolo. They don't have Nick Bosa. They don't have Richard Sherman. I mean,
Mostert Wilson as a running back.
Yeah. Mostert Wilson. Yeah. These running, I mean, they've lost everybody. They're just dead in the water. And I think if you're the 49ers, it's great if you compete. And I'm not saying they shouldn't. And I think they will. But I mean, yeah, worst case scenario, you may get Justin Fields.
Yeah, that's really worse. I'm thinking if they went 7-9, that would be a great season for them, I feel like.
7-9? Have they?
Yeah, well, except to play Washington and the Cowboys. Those are winnable games, no matter who's on the field, even if you're completely depleted.
What so if they have to extend the playoffs to 8 teams, like was tossed around this week?
Ooh. Maybe they get in with 8-8.
Well, I mean, so they're at the Saints, at the Rams, Bills, Washington, Cowboys, at Cardinals, and Seahawks. I can see them winning four of those games. Three of those.
Four. Which four?
They're going to beat Washington and Dallas.
Okay, what else?
Cowell will steal one.
Where are the two other? You said two. Why are they only four? Where are the two other ones?
The Bills aren't that good. They can beat the Cardinals.
Okay. I mean, they could, but it'll be tough. All right.
I mean, I don't think it's likely. If you had to pick the Packers the best team in the NFC?
No. Like they have one receiver. That's going to be my talking point.
They lost to the Buccaneers 38-10.
How are the Packers good and fraudulent again?
They beat a team that has four players. What are you talking about?
I'm just saying 2 years in a row, it's really unlikely that you'd be like a 10-12 win team and be completely fraudulent.
Well, here's the thing. You go into the offseason 6-7 months ago, and you're like, okay, we have a ton of draft picks, salary cap space, free agency, undrafted free agents, trade deadline. We'll get at least one receiver, right? No. That's why.
I'm never going to let this go.
It just doesn't make sense.
You've got a very friendly schedule.
It doesn't make sense on a Bill O'Brien type of level, like the type of decisions they're making. So, yeah, they have a friendly schedule. Look, they're going to win the division. They're going to go to the
playoffs. They play the Jags next week when Alan Lazard has 175 yards. I'm going to spend all Sunday night just dunking.
How did Jake Luton not beat this Packers defense?
Well, and the crazy thing is going to be the same thing. They're run the table because this is probably the easiest schedule of any of the contenders. And they're going to get to the playoffs. And as Wilson said, some defense is going to absolutely own them because they only have one receiver.
That's my concern. I think they're a good football team, and I think they could be the best team in the NFC. It just boggles my mind that they're set on.
The Buccaneers are going to be the 2020 version of the 49ers for the Packers. They're going to end up playing them in the playoffs and just blow them out again. They're going to be like 4.5-point favorites in the NFC title game or the divisional round. Everyone's going to talk themselves into Aaron Rodgers versus Brady, and it's going to be like 38-12.
And that secondary, if you look at like Pro Football Focus, that secondary for the Buccaneers, a lot of, like two or three of those guys are top 10 guys.
Yeah.
Including Jamal Dean.
Joe Buck called Jair Alexander the best cornerback in football tonight.
I saw that. He said it sort of in passing and maybe someone got in his ear.
He sort of threw it out there.
It's like, shut up. Don't say that again, Joe.
But, it's not
crazy, but that defense is not playing well. So just keep it to yourself.
Their run defense is bad again. That's the problem.
Yeah. So, I think the Packers are a very good football team. I think they're the third best team in the division right now. In the conference, excuse me.
So they have the Jags, the win. At Colts is a toss-up. Bears, they should win that game. Eagles, LOL. At Lions, they'll beat them. Panthers, they should win that game. Titans is I'll give it a toss-up, but I think they'll probably win it. And then Bears again.
Where's Titans?
At home.
Yeah.
So those final eight games, we're giving them six, and there's two toss-ups. So worst case, they're 6-2, and 12-4. They go 12-4.
Yeah, I think the floor for the Packers is like 11-5.
They could go 12-4 and not get home field advantage. They may have a better record than the Buccaneers, just because the Buccaneers' schedule is probably tougher. But I don't think they have a better record than the Seahawks.
Buccaneers still have to play the Chiefs, and then obviously the Saints this week.
Yeah, so.
Yeah,
I'll say the Seahawks get the number one seed, and Green Bay could be number two.
They're both 6-2. I guess Green Bay's 7-2 now.
Right.
But obviously Tampa has the head-to-head tiebreaker. Man, that's huge.
Yep.
Neither of Tampa Bay or Green Bay play Seattle, or Green Bay, Tampa Bay does.
Three of Seattle's games in December are the Giants, the Jets, and Washington.
They're going to win by a combined 200 points in those three games.
Or, I mean, it is the Seahawks, and every game is crazy. So they might win by a combined 3 points.
Lock them in for the top three seeds.
Okay, well, first of all, they're getting Jamal Adams back. I think Carlos Dunlap will clearly upgrade the pass rush, even if it's minimally, because it's not very good. So they're going in the right direction, at least on paper.
By the way, I just want to point this out, that if the season ended today, and it doesn't,
the Steelers would be the best team in football. Thank you.
The Bears wouldn't be in the playoffs.
Is that true?
Unless it gets expanded to 16 teams. They would be the eighth seed
in the NFC right now.
Oh.
San Francisco would be the ninth seed at 4-5.
First team out.
Maybe they updated San Francisco and not Green Bay. That's annoying. Anyway, let's get out of here.
Wrap it.
Tremendous recap. Huge recap.
Best recap ever.
Kept it tight. It was not a fraudulent recap. See you guys later.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.